I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
And I'm Susan Wilson. Casey Currents is KCUR's weekly magazine show. We use voices, stories, and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region.
The Black Archives of Mid-America recently completed renovations on a new exhibit and archive space, and also welcomed a new executive director. This is good news for the beleaguered organization. Back in the 1970s, Horace Peterson began collecting artifacts, documents, and photographs that tell the story of the region's African-American community. The collection fell on hard times after Peterson died unexpectedly in 1992. But with help from the city and the public library, the Black Archives plans to open in its new home in June. Topeka-born Doretha Williams is the new executive director. She has a doctorate from KU in American Studies. Susan caught up with her at the new location in the 18th and Vine District.
My biggest goal is to bring the community back to the Black Archives and have the archives open for the community. Everywhere I go, someone talks about the Black Archives, their experiences. They worked with Horace Peterson, or they worked on this collection, or young people who tell me, oh, when I was younger, I used to play in Aunt Lucy's Cabin. So there are people who want the archive to open and to provide that service, to provide that site of intellectual inquiry, of research, and public programming. So my biggest goal is to bring the community back and have this place open for patrons and those who want to do research, those who want to submit their collections or what have you. So that is the biggest goal right now.
So I'm curious, you're someone who's had a scholarly interest in a lot of these topical areas. Do you find yourself, even now as you're here, going through some of the stuff with great interest?
Yes, I do. And that causes a problem sometimes because I'm, you know, needing to be working here. But yeah, I get in the archives sometimes and get to digging through things and things that are really interesting. Plus, learning more about the Kansas City area has been, I guess, a real thrill for me right now. And when I was an undergrad, I worked for the Special Collections Library at Fisk University. And I remember, you know, having to be pushed to do my shelving because I was reading the books and looking at the archive there. That desire to look in the archives and kind of go through the material was really rooted in who I am at a very young age.
These various collections, what story do they begin to tell? What themes start to emerge about the Kansas City community?
The themes that emerge really include the vital entrepreneurship community here in Kansas City. We target the educational institutions like Lincoln School, different educational programs in the area, different histories of the Negro League, you know, African Americans in baseball, different ideas and themes about sports, and definitely we have the theme of music that comes out in the collection. So you have a narrative of African Americans, smaller in population, you know, related to other areas of the country, but a collection of African Americans searching for that full citizenship in what we call, you know, the West or the Central Plains. So you have that idea of developing communities, ingenuity, helping to grow and stabilize the Black community in this region.
What's currently here at Black Archives of Mid-America if people were to come down to see when it opens?
We have a collection of older African American literature that may or may not be in circulation anymore. And then we also have some items from a collection of the Buffalo Soldiers. When it opens in June, we'll have the permanent exhibit, and that's titled My Eyes Are No Longer Blind, which is a history in an exhibit of African Americans in Kansas City. Right now, the collection contains a lot of valuable pieces, history of Freedom Inc. We also have a lot of information and material on the call. We have collections of photographs from different people in the community starting back, you know, in the early 20th century.
All of these materials were in danger just a few years ago. At that time, the archives were housed at the firehouse at 20th and Vine. The caretakers of the collection hadn't paid property taxes for several years, and Jackson County had sued. Then, failure to submit audits prompted the city council to stop giving the organization its subsidy. In yet another blow, the Missouri Secretary of State's office dissolved the archives as a nonprofit because it wasn't filing annual reports. The firehouse was finally closed in 2006, with the archives' contents inside. Many were concerned that the material, most of which is irreplaceable, was threatened by mold and mildew. But now, Doretha Williams says those concerns are behind them.
The collection is secure right now. It was due to the efforts of individuals really involved with the archive, Barbara Peterson, who is the widow of Horace Peterson, the founder, Sharon Sanders Brooks, individuals at the library, and individuals in the community came together and said, you know, we have to secure this collection. You know, it's priceless. And so that was when Governor Jay Nixon was the Attorney General, and he also helped to bring the community together to have a discussion of what are we going to do. And that's when it was decided to get the collection secure and to find a facility to house it in.
So there's a lot of pride in this new building. Can you describe a little bit about what it looks like now?
It's a large L-shaped building made of stone. It sits just north of the 18 and Vine District. It's a great facility. It used to be a Parks and Recs building, and Parks and Recs and those who came through to renovate have done an excellent job. The Full Employment Council occupies one wing, and then the Black Archives operates in another. We have wood floors, great stonework, and I think the greatest thing about this building is that what was structurally sound, significant, and architecturally beautiful was preserved. So it's not like one of those buildings that have been completely overhauled and it's all white plaster. This is a beautiful building. The stonework is here. It used to be a stable as well, so we have some kind of cattle ties in the cement, in the mortar of the building, and that's always neat. We still have the fire doors. Great lighting, great windows, and it is also refurbished to be as green as possible.
And I know you probably weren't here yet, but from what you heard, was there thought given to how the design would suit the archive's purpose as they put this together?
The main concern was how to house the archive. So to make sure that there was a room that was large enough not only to house the current collection, but also to have room to grow, to take in additional collections. That was, I think, one of the biggest issues. And then to make sure there was a room, the exhibit hall room, that was large enough to hold a permanent exhibit, and to make sure there was space for classrooms and different public programming. So that was all taken into consideration.
Renovating the old Parks building cost over $5 million. Much of this was made possible by funds from the city. It wasn't complete, though, until the Kauffman Foundation awarded a $1 million grant to the Kansas City Public Library to finish the renovations.
The library also serves as a place to host our public events that we're going to be having. And those building managers at the public library have been great for me because they come and they do a lot of work in the building as well, and that's been great.
On the flip side of that, though, is there any concern about, with the library stepping in, that the African-American community loses control over an important asset? Of course, I've heard that from critics of that relationship.
I would say to that all relationships shift and move. And I don't believe it's the intention of the public library to take over or to have a power trip about the situation here. And, you know, we're in an economy that, you know, folks can't really just take over other people's stuff anyway these days. So I don't think that's an issue at all. But the relationship will move and fluctuate as the Black Archives continues to develop a permanent staff, its own situation when it comes to programming and financing. So it'll shift and move. I don't think that should be a concern of people who are, have that type of worry.
I know you mentioned the Kauffman Foundation and others who donated to make this whole dream come true. There have been issues in the 18th and Vine area of museums having a hard time then maintaining their operational costs, their maintenance costs, and those sorts of things. What kind of plans are afoot for the archives to be able to stay solvent in terms of operations?
We're putting together fundraising proposals. Right now, we're also doing a lot of grant writing. We wrote a grant for the Missouri Humanities Council, and we received word late last week that we did get that grant, and that grant is for a teacher's institute, which will be held a week after our opening, June 20th through the 21st. And it's a grant, like I said, for the Missouri Humanities Council. Dr. Lonnie Bunch, who is the director of the Museum of African American History and Culture in the Smithsonian campus in D.C. He's coming to be a speaker for that event. We plan to have as many as 40 teachers to come in and listen to seminars and take part in workshops about teaching African American history, specifically the African American history of Kansas City, in their classrooms. So a lot of it is going out and fundraising, but also making sure we're creating public programming, because without programming, you can't really go and fight for funding. You have to show that you're doing something. And so having that grant under our belt right now is great, but we still have to do more footwork as far as grant writing and general fundraising for operational costs. We still have to do more of that.
So you mentioned at the top of the interview about your vision to really reconnect with the community. What kinds of mechanisms to connect with the community do you have in mind for the future?
We're targeting four really segments of the community at this time. We're targeting our educators through our workshops and teacher institutes. We're targeting our elders in our community through programs. We're having a program, hopefully in early March, titled Evening with the Elders, where we're going to be discussing and having question and answer period with some of the elder historians and storytellers here in Kansas City. So, and then also doing oral history recordings with the elders in our community so that we have their voice and we have their record of their lives. We're also connecting with our youth in the community, and that's when our youth programs are going to come into play, because we have to teach our youth that when they get older, they need to remain connected to the Black Archives, and not just Black Archives, but arts and humanities and education.
By the way, the Black Archives used to sponsor Juneteenth. Is that a tradition that will begin again, do you think, or is that on the back burner for right now?
That is actually not on the back burner. The opening, June 16th, will actually coincide with a Juneteenth celebration. And I've heard of the ones in the past. It may not be the grandiose ones, but we're going to get there eventually. But no, the Black Archives will definitely be working with others in the community, because there are other organizations who will be doing work on Juneteenth. And we want to collaborate with the entire district and the entire city to bring that back to its heyday.
That was Doretha Williams, the new executive director of the Black Archives of Mid-America, located in the historic 18th and Vine District. The archives will open to the public this coming June.
Coming up, lessons learned after a career in the mental health field in Kansas. An interview with David Wiebe, who just retired from Johnson County Mental Health. You're listening to Casey Currents.